Praise the Lord.
That's how you feel.
Yes. And the devil is a liar.
Yes.
Jesus is the Messiah.
Glory to God.
Yes. Amen. I tell you what. Praise the Lord. Okay. So last week we talked about how to make a deposit. And what you do after you make a deposit. And we've made copies of the of what I said last week and back on the table on your way out. If you like to, you can pick a copy. And you can customize that to the way you want. Right? I have 1,000 folder, you can put 100 for if you want, so forth. But okay. Alright, so we said the church, in reacting to the curse, has been less than holistic, right? We told you time and time and over and over and over, keep saying it, because that's part of training and teaching, that when Adam and Eve sinned, the curse was released on this earth. In fact, it was his faith that turned to curse. I mean, that's just the opposite. When he yielded to the devil, he allowed the devil's dominion to begin to apply on this earth. And in three principal areas, spiritual death, sickness and disease, and poverty. And we've done a pretty good job of talking about the first part, spiritual death. We've preached the gospel, get born again, get born again, get born again, get born again. We've done that a lot, most denominations. Not all, unfortunately. Some denominations, I think they forgot about being born again. You just go to church, you know. No, you got to get born again. Jesus said, ye must be born again. It's the divine imperative. Glory to God. So we're done, you know, of course, the Baptists, that's, they're good at that. Amen. Uh-huh. So forth. But we haven't done as good a job about the healing part. We've told people, all right, come to Jesus again, get born again. But not just go to the doctor, but look to the doctor. Amen. And I just saw a doctor just a couple of days ago. But my frame of mind, and this is the point of it. My frame of mind is not. I'm not going there thinking, I hope that I leave the doctor's office happy. I'm happy going in there. I mean, did you get that? It's almost like a formality. An important one, of course. Amen. Because I do my medical, you know, and all that. But it's almost like a formality. It's almost like, okay, help me, Jesus. You remember when John was baptizing and Jesus came to be baptized. And John said, no, you should be baptizing me, not the other way around. Jesus said, go ahead and do it so we can fulfill all righteousness. It's almost a formality. And you're thinking, whatever the case is, and I'm going there thinking, I hope I have some good news. You already have good news. It's in here. Take it with you wherever you go. Whatever you hear, run it through this book. That's what it means to walk by faith. Amen. Some know you'd rather have the doctor tell you that everything is fine than not. But if he told you everything is not fine, you can look at the book and say, well, according to this book it is. Thank you, doc. Of course you don't tell him that or her that, right? You appreciate what they can do for you. There is the natural and then the super. They're supposed to be put on the natural. So in this case, the doctor supplies the natural, but oh, here comes the super to be put on that natural. Amen. That's your frame of mind when you go to see a doctor. Hallelujah. Amen. So we haven't done a good job of that at all. As a church, as the body of Christ, you know, we've pretty much forgotten about it. We pretty much feel like God has consigned healing to doctors. That's why he gave us doctors, so we don't have to believe God about anything. Of course, we offer a prayer, what we call a prayer. It's nothing but a bunch of people. He says, we're just wishing, hoping and praying. It's kind of like a couple of guys were doing some stuff and things were not going so well. And boy, you know, it was getting bad. So one of them said, let's pray. And the other said, has it come to that? So prayer is like what we do when all else fails. It ought to be what we do so nothing fails. Glory to God. Amen. And if we did it right, that's exactly what would happen. Because prayer, I'll say it again, to pray about it, prayer or petition, certainly. To pray about something is to say over it what God has said about it. So when I heard that from the Lord, I thought, that's it. Everything else is just fluff. I mean, I'm sure we'll teach you to say it and all of that, fine. In some cases, unless you put it on. Some people put it on. To say about an issue what God has said about it. So of course, if it's your body hurting, what has he said? By his stripes, you were healed. That's what he has said. Amen. So what I'm feeling is nothing but symptoms. You should learn that word and learn it good. From now on, anything that attacks your body, those are just symptoms. Because Jesus took care of the real deal. Himself took, not gonna take. Amen. So we haven't done a good job of that. And of course, when it comes to finances, we haven't done a worse job of it. We've told people to look to their job or business. And if that doesn't work, go to the bank. Look to the bank. Nothing wrong with any of that, per se. But the looking to, the thinking that that's what's going to do it. As opposed to Jesus is leading me this way to use my employer, to use the bank. Huh? Don't you ever go to the bank without Jesus, without putting that food in. Amen? So we haven't done a good job of that. And so we went ahead and told you about how to make a deposit after you give, make a deposit, and so forth. Today I want to talk to you about money evangelism. See, because I want to teach about money, teach about biblical economics and so forth. Some people, there's a tendency to think all we're about is self-aggrandizement. We just want to get the big car and get the bigger one and then the bigger one. No. Money in the service of evangelism. That's the bottom line, frankly. Hallelujah. So proper biblical financial education is not centered on personal comforts as the end. That's a part of it, but that is not the end. Look at Genesis chapter 12. Let's go to the basics. We start with the basics. And it never really goes too far from the basics. Father of faith. Genesis 12 verse 2. Talking to Abraham. And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee. And I will make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. Huh? That's the end result of it. The reason why I'll make your name great and bless you is so you can be a blessing. Because everybody is not in your position. I'm not talking to everybody right now. God might as well have said. But through you, they're going to hear from me. Amen? Through you, they're going to know me. Through you, they're going to find out who I am and what's my character. See right there? This is why it's so damnable for church folk to be poor mouth and poor. Because that's a direct reflection of their Father. Our Father which are in heaven. That's what he was saying to Abraham. I'll bless you and I'll make you a blessing. Why? So the folks you come in contact with will know about me. Because I want to reach them too. I wish I had the same relationship with them that I have with you. I would like to be talking to them like I'm talking to you. But they're not here. You're here. You're here. So I want to talk to them through you. That's the gospel. And finances have a big role in all of that. Because it happens to be the language that more all your body speaks. Amen? Like it or lump it, that's just the way it is. Counseling for married couples and so forth. Just again about anybody. They talk about love languages. You know? You got to speak to people in their love languages. Some people appreciate when you say kind words to them. Some people appreciate doing something for them. Some people appreciate giving them stuff. You got to speak their language for them to appreciate. If they appreciate you saying good things about them and you're busy giving them stuff, they may not appreciate it so much. Right? Love languages. And we've got to speak the love language of the folks Jesus died for. That's the point. Amen. We have to master that language and speak to them through it. Speaking in tongues, I don't speak to them. Nothing wrong with that. I speak in tongues. Well, the Paul said, man, that you are. And he was a big one to do that. We ought to. Okay. So, look at Deuteronomy chapter 8. Money in the service of evangelism. See, some people who, they sort of kind of know that, yeah, it costs money but we just won't talk much about it. That is backward. Deuteronomy chapter 8. So God has led them, is leading them out of Israel, out of Egypt into the promised land. Verse 7. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land. You know he hasn't changed? He's the God, he's the same God. A land of brooks of water, fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills. Verse 9. A land where thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything. Verse 10. However though, when you have eaten and are full, thou shalt bless the Lord. Oh, so the Lord can be blessed. You know, we talk a lot about us, him blessing us. We can bless him. Isn't that something? How do we bless him? By acknowledging his blessing in our lives, telling how good it is. This is why praise and worship is so important. Because it's the only time we together can tell him what we think. But if you're a parent, all the kids get together and plan to do something about your birthday or something. You know. Blessing him. You are Alpha, like we did today. And Omega. Hallelujah. All right, so remember to bless the Lord your God. And then it says, verse 11, beware that you forget not. The reason it's saying is because we have a tendency to forget. Don't forget the Lord your God. Verse 12, lest when thou hast eaten and art full and have built these goodly houses, did you notice that? And I dwelt therein, your herds and your flocks and your mutual funds and your, you get the picture. Multiply. I like that. Multiply by what? 100-fold, 1,000-fold. My goodness. mean, verse 13. And that silver and that gold, I'm glad he made it so plain, is multiplied. Not just grown at it. And all that you have is multiplied. Beware that heart be lifted up, that you forget, verse 14, thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, got you out of slavery, out of poverty, out of sickness, out of lack, from the house of bondage, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness, gave you water, gave you manna, all of that. Verse 16, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna and so forth, that he might humble thee. What does that mean? Cause you to know that you can depend on him. Prove to you that he is dependable. Amen. When there's no water, he can make it happen. No food, no problem. He is the Lord thy God. Jehovah El Shaddai. My goodness. Remember, I did all that, he says. And I did all that so I could do you, to do thee good at the latter end. So what I've talked about, what he's talked about so far is not even the good part yet, he says. I'm just priming you up. Glory to God. The best is on its way. What you don't want to do is think in your heart that your power and your might has gotten you all this wealth. You don't want to think that. It says wealth. You know that's beyond riches. Ooh, glory. There it is in the book. For all you critics, there it is in the book. But do this, remember the Lord your God, for it is he, none other. Amen? Amen. It's he who does it, none other. This is why you can't rely on the bank, or your employer, or your business. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Your employer, your business cannot afford you. It cannot. If you laid out all the things, and revive all those dreams that you forgot about. Because you thought, there ain't no way that ain't going to happen. Huh? All the places you want to travel to, experience, see. If you lay them all out, your business, your job can't, he can't get you there. But he can. I said he can. Glory to God. He can. Only he can. In fact, only he has made a way for that to happen. As long as all those dreams are consistent with a godly lifestyle, you can have what you want. Jesus said you can have what you say. It is consistent with a godly lifestyle. I learned that from Dr. Price. Be sure to say that, because sometimes people hear that and, you know, they think you are, you're just open-ended. No, it's not. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He said, remember that it is he that gives you power to get wealth. He must want you to have wealth, right? For him to give you power to get it? Think about that. If he didn't want you to have something, why would he enable you to have it? Why don't folks? I know why. It's the devil. That's all it is. Blinding the minds of those that believe not. 2 Corinthians says that. It is he that gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant. So all that he said, this is the bottom line. I read all that because I want you to see, we've read this verse in isolation before. But given what we're talking about today, I want you to see that all of the houses multiply, all that stuff, it was get down here, is connected to what I told Abraham. I'm here talking to you. I'm not talking to anybody else. I wish they were here too. They're not. I'm going to talk to them through you. I'm going to load you up, bless you, so you can be a blessing, and they will point to me. That's the plan. I want it all to point back to me. Not because I'm egotistical, but because I am the source of life. Mm-hmm. Huh? Everything those folks are looking for is to be found in me. Unless I can get them to look to me somehow, they're going to go through that. They're going to be groping in the dark, you know, just knocking things over and every once in a while accidentally discover something. That's why. Money in the service of evangelism. And then it says, give your part to get wealth. Why? So that he may establish his covenant. We just read about it. Genesis 12:2. He's still talking about that. Which he swore unto thy fathers. That's Abraham, isn't it? Isaac in Israel and so forth. Bottom line of money is to point to God. Amen. Money in the service of evangelism. Which is why you should never stop wanting. By the way, I said wealth is more than riches. Wealth refers to income generating assets. Riches is, if you won the lottery, for example, $5 million, that's rich. Okay? Wealth is if you still have that or more in 5 years' time. And to get to that, you must have invested all of that. So now it's generated. You don't get to wealth. You don't ever get to wealth if you live by a paycheck. Never. You'll never get there. You got to take some of that paycheck and start getting yourself set for wealth. Amen. And he said he gives you power not to get rich, just that wealth generating. Amen. All right. So here's what I started to say. This is why you should never stop wanting more money. Why? Why not? Because God ever increasingly wants you to be a blessing. And it takes getting more and more money to keep being a bigger and bigger blessing. Amen. And it's work. And folks get to a point where they're comfortable. Amen. And they've got all their plans to get money in all different parts and so for them. Life's over with. They just want to just chill. See, that's ungodly, folk. It's ungodly. Absolutely ungodly. I'll bless you and make you a blessing. That doesn't mean, you know, bless you, make you a blessing one time, two times, three. No. Ever. Ever increasing capacity to be a blessing. That's his plan. Amen. That's his plan. And we have to yield to that. See, that's why we can't talk too much about money. Because it takes that to be a blessing. And to bless more and more and more and more people. So, like I said, the proper biblical education is not all about self-comfort. That's a part of it. It's about you, but it's not all about you. Amen. And so we take a lot of time, we teach a lot about what the Bible says about finances, but this part of it can't be left out. It can't be missing. We just can't say everything in any one session. Amen? But this has got to be the bottom line. I will be more comfortable, more and more and more comfortable. Huh? You can get to where you, instead of going online and booking the flight, American Airlines, you pick up the phone and call your pilot. Tell them where you want to go. But what are you doing for everybody else? Amen. What are you doing for everybody else? That's a big part. I will bless you. I will make you a blessing. Like I said, everybody else is not here with me, Abraham. You're the only one because that's the only person I've been able to get to pay any attention to me. I wish I had them all of them here in the Colosseum or some kind to talk to all of them all at once. And he did do that, St. Jesus, did he not? To talk to all of us. But some folks haven't heard it. And so now we've got to go be evangelists. And money has a place in that. Look at Hebrews chapter 1. Let me show you this. We've got to put all this in perspective. You know? Because it's if we get that wrong, we'll get everything else wrong. On top of the devil lying to folk about what we're about. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Father. What is that? Who has spoken to us? I think it's chapter 3. Did I say chapter 1? Mm-hmm. Has spoken to us by his word, by his son. What is that 1 or 3? Mm-hmm. It's one of these, 1 or 2. Two. It's chapter 1. All right. Hebrews 1, verse 1. God, who at sundry times, and in all diverse manners, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these days spoken unto us by his Son. That was the point of Jesus dying. God trying to speak to us. He was speaking to Abraham back then. Same message. Exact same message. I bless you, make you a blessing. Through you, they ought to find out about me. That's the bottom line. That's the bottom line. And like I said, we got to speak their language. And so that's why you should never stop wanting more money. Because it's not just about you. It's not just about you. It's about blessing other people. And to do that, and to keep blessing more and more and more and more people, you've got to have more and more and more money. Amen. That's the bottom line. And we'll never, never, never should forget that. So when folks say we are just greedy, they've got it all completely wrong. Of course you're going to be more comfortable, but what are you doing for anybody else? I can't get to that part today, but I'll get to it tomorrow. Yeah, we should do it tomorrow too. No. Okay. Ooh, glory. Thank you, Father. Okay. Hence, you should never stop wanting more money. You can always be a greater blessing. It's about you, but it's not all about you. So money evangelism. Here's the part that I wish I didn't have to teach. I told you a couple weeks ago, so the one reason why ministers don't preach, excuse me, teach too much about finances is because of the criticism. It seems like you talk about yourself. but you guys know me. Folks out there on TV land, but you guys know me. You know me where money go. Money is concerned. So I'm afraid to talk about it. So money evangelism begins with adequately seeing to the welfare of God's ministers. See, you say that it sounds kind of self-serving, but it has to be taught. Only someone like me can teach it, right? A minister has to teach this. Just like every other subject. But this sounds like you're engaging yourself. But fortunately for me in this church, there's no issue of that at all. You guys know it, I know it. So let's try to help the folks out there, okay? How about that? Amen. It begins with seeing to the welfare of God's ministers. And I thank you all that you've done a splendid job of that. Way beyond if I were doing it myself, I would do it that way. supporting the fivefold ministry is crucial in terms of money in the service of evangelism. Because they are the trainers of the army. Amen? It's kind of like God saying, I'm going to bless you. Huh? Abraham in that situation took the place of the fivefold ministry. I'm going to bless you so I can make you a blessing. Because if I don't bless you, then I can't make you, I have no other way of reaching this other folk if I don't start with you. And I'm saying this because I know places where, let me just say, look at Ephesians chapter 4. And if you're the devil, you want preachers to be worse off than anybody else, do you not? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, you target preachers. Because if you can target preachers, you can just get the worst impression about the ministry, excuse me, about God to everybody else. Oh. My wife told me a situation, one of her jogging partners. Something about, how about maybe it's Berkeley? Oh, I tell you. So, she's Catholic and he's not, something like that. Oh, maybe I shouldn't have said that. Should have mentioned denomination. Anyway, so they go to get married. Well, they get married this can't work because you are cross faith. The other has to be faith too. And he says, I think he wrote a check or something. Would this help? And the minister said, yeah, it'll go a long way. I thought, when I heard that, I was beside myself. I didn't know what to do. I'm like, see that? That's exactly what the devil wants. For ministers to act that way when it comes to money. Unlike Elijah. Remember Elijah? Or was it Elisha? I don't want to take that look at it. But the Naaman, the Syrian general, came to him and then this and that, the other, and brought stuff and said, no, I don't want your stuff. No, I don't want your stuff. Not because it was wrong with the ticket, but he had the wrong attitude. He had the wrong attitude. So he said, no, I'm not taking it. So we talked about that. It's a time to get, time to receive, a time not to receive. So the devil can get that kind of attitude out there, and consequently, he hasn't been in church. He won't go. He thinks all preachers are like that. The devil is a liar. Okay, Ephesians chapter 4. We can start from verse 1, but let's start from 7. But unto every one of us is given, every one of us, every Christian, is given grace according to the measure of the gift of the anointed one. Therefore, he said, when he ascended up on high, talking about Jesus, he led captivity captive. I'm going to talk about that eventually as well. Explain that to you. And gave gifts unto men. He gave every believer a gift, but also gave certain gifts to certain called up ones. Verse 9. Now that he ascended, what is it but he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? That's hell. So folks who don't believe that Jesus went to hell, that's it, right there. Also look at the book of Acts chapter 2. Right? He that descended is the same also that ascended up above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. Why? for the perfecting or the maturing, which comes by teaching and edification, for the maturing of the saints for the work of the ministry. What is the work of the ministry? Exactly what God was telling Abraham those many, many, many millennia ago. I will bless you. I will make you a blessing. Through you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. That's the work of the ministry. That's exactly what Jesus also came to do. And so these are the generals. These are the trainers. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. So when we talk about money in the service of evangelism, we have to make sure that these are situated properly. So morale is up. You talk about leading a group of folks into war. They got to be trained. They got to be properly motivated. But above all, whoever is commanding them better know their business. Amen. He or she better have the tactics right, the positioning right. Amen. They can't be worrying about if they're going to have lunch later that day or not. So these are the leaders, the generals in the army of the Lord, who will train for the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. Basically, every Christian is supposed to be winning people to Jesus. Shining for Jesus. Telling them every chance they get. I tell you what, God makes plenty of chances available. I talk about this, but I just have to, Lord, forgive me. I just had to repent the other day. Someone said, what was it? Someone said, you're looking better. You look good. What is your secret? I thought, that's it. That was a perfect opening. Huh? But I didn't. I stopped. You know how it is. You've been there. I should have said, Jesus has been good to me. That would have been plenty. That would have been plenty. I didn't say that. I don't know why. It wouldn't have cost me anything. This person can't do anything to me. Or for me either. That's how it goes. I don't know why I didn't say that. I felt so bad afterwards. I thought, Lord, Lord Jesus, forgive me. You gave me a perfect opening and I didn't take it. I share that with you so you know. That we're talking about opening, that's what I'm talking about. Because I knew that's the truth. It's because of him. But I didn't say it. And afterwards I wish I had done. So be on the lookout for those moments. They come in different ways. Be quick to let it be known why there's anything good about your life. Amen. Amen. To let it be known who deserves all the credit. Amen. Amen. Alright, so that's part of the work of the ministry. The Christian believers will tend to something else. Too many Christians tend to think is my clock stopped? Okay. Too many Christians think, well, we hire the minister, we pay the minister to do the ministry. No. The minister's job is to train the Christians to witness for Jesus. The minister is a commanding officer. The minister is not really, like I said, I had my opportunity, but the minister is not really supposed to all do the fighting, right? In a regular army, that's what happens. The ministers don't do the fighting. The officers don't do the fighting. They come up with the strategy, the plan, the when, the how, and the why, and all that. And the troops actually do the fighting. In this army, folks flip it. They want to be busy doing all their stuff, let the ministry do it. It doesn't work that way. God never planned. There are not enough ministers to do that. So money in the service of evangelism begins with adequately seeing to the welfare of God's ministers. Amen. So we should support the five apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Notice that pastors are not the only ministers there are. Amen. There are apostles, there are evangelists, there are prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. And so you should be, besides tithing in the church, so forth, you should support ministries on the road that are out in the field, so to say, that are on television. As God leads you, and He'll lead you. He'll connect you in the realm of the Spirit with a minister or two or three or four. We do that ourselves. That's a part of using money for evangelism. Okay? And I'm saying this, in this country, you know, we pay pastors. There are plenty of places where they don't pay pastors. And I'm saying that's wrong. If it's a dollar, huh? Pay the pastor. A dollar, two, three, whatever it is, and do it regularly. And more as God enables the church to do so. And it's not so much the amount of money, it's the acknowledgement that we value what you do for us and for the kingdom. This is godly. He said He gave some pastors so forth. You'd be surprised. That's not right. When you go to church, can't necessarily make or break you, but it will help you or hinder you. You've heard me say it many times. Belonging to a church is a calling, just as much as pastor in the church. It's a calling. God will never leave it entirely up to anybody whether you make it or don't make it. Amen? Yeah. They can help or hinder you. But see, you have to pick, you have to choose. You have to, when you hear stuff, you got to believe it or not. Go with it or not. But God has called those ministers to edify us. He says right there, right? He gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers for the perfecting of the saints, the maturing of the saints, for the training of the saints, so that then they can go do the work of the ministry. Now, this is true for people too. People can help you or hinder you. Parents can help or hinder. Siblings can help or hinder. Co-workers. Bosses, right? All sorts of people can help or hinder. But especially your man or woman of God. Because if they do that job right, your spiritual well-being largely determines the rest of your well-being. Amen. Amen. And those ministers are the ones called to see to your spiritual well-being. Hallelujah. So see to it that you're a man or woman of God to the best of your ability. It's not hindered by way of finances or something. Now I'm not talking about, you know, some abuse or something like that. So I'm talking about acknowledgement and, you know, showing appreciation, that's all. Like I said, this part is kind of hard to preach, but it's got to be taught. But look at what the Bible says about it, though. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 4. Deuteronomy 25, 4. It says, thou shalt not muzzle the ox when he treadeth out the corn. You got a hardworking ox out there in the field. And then I don't know if you gotta feed that ox and amen. Don't muzzle the ox when it just produced a whole field of corn for you. In other words, it's linking. And okay, let's read some more scriptures and then I'll comment on it. Let's see. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Start from verse 1. So Paul begins this chapter in a rather defensive manner. Is it not? Mm-hmm. Evidently, mouths were wagging about him and his ministry. He said, am I not an apostle? Right? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? He's pretty defensive. They were saying a bunch of things about him, but not so. And you're gonna find out that it was about money. Among other things. Amazing. If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you. For the seal of mine apostleship are you in the Lord. Mine answer, well, there we see that right there? Which means there were questions, doesn't it? Mine answer to them that do examine me is this. Tongues were wagging. Have we not power to eat and to drink? See that? Talk about material realm. Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles? We can get married if we want to, can we? And as the brethren of the Lord, and Peter, Cephas, or I only and Barnabas, have not we power to forbear working? See that? Who goes to warfare anytime at his own charges? They were not adequately supporting the apostle. And on top of that, tongues were wagging. Why don't he go get a job and support himself? That's what I did. He said, oh, I only and Barnabas have not we power to forbear working. Don't we have power to not work and be supported? Is that what we're saying? Who goes to warfare anytime at his own charge? The U.S. Air Force doesn't, you know, enlist you as an airman and then have you go buy your F-16, jet. How would that work? Who plants a vineyard and eats not of the fruit thereof? Now, he's talking about, I planted this vineyard, spiritually planted. Because these are churches he established. And eat it not of the fruit thereof. Or who feeds the flock and eat it not of the milk of the flock. Do I say these things as a man? Does not the law say the same thing? That's a lot of questions, is he not? He had it. He had had it with these folks. For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? Or didn't he say this for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and that he that thresheth in hope should be a partaker of his hope. And then it brings to the ministry. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we should reap of your carnal things? You see that? In other words, if we have imparted spiritual knowledge and wisdom about God and all of that, and it has benefited you, and it ought to, if we do it right, if church folks, pick churches belong to us, they are led by the Spirit of God, and the minister does his job, it ought to benefit you. Absolutely ought to benefit you. And so he's saying, so he's likening, in other words, the ox here is the minister, the pastor, the prophet, the evangelist, and so forth. And threading the corn is teaching godly precepts and principles that better our lives, what he's talking about. And folks who do that, he's saying, should be adequately compensated. I told you this was a dumb message to preach, but it has to be said. Okay? Verse 11. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? Money, that is. Your material things. If others be partakers of this power over you, if anybody has a claim of this, of you, are not we, rather, myself and Barnabas? Nevertheless, it says, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. What ought to be said also is, if those who were called to support him didn't do their job, that would also hinder the gospel of Christ. Because later on we find out Paul, the apostle Paul, if any minister ought to be supported, it was him. Amen. If any minister didn't have to do anything else but just teach and preach the gospel, it would be this fellow. And yeah, he became a tent maker. I didn't know if I was going to say this or not, but it bears saying. I just prayed about it and said, Lord, if you want me to, I'll say it. I think in a way, in a way, Paul left us a bad example in that. Left people like me a bad example. He said, Paul, listen, Abraham missed it. Isaiah missed it. Elijah missed it. Ezekiel missed it. Moses missed it. Huh? The only one who didn't ever miss was Jesus. Oh, yeah. Became a tent maker, doing something on the side, and then I'm doing ministry. It really should never be that way. Like I said, I wasn't sure I was going to go in this direction, but amen. And it's not necessarily because, in some cases, like in my case, not necessarily because, you know, folks are not doing what they're supposed to be doing. But what can I say? You just get tangled up. The devil just. I try to do this without doing anything else. And now my family almost starved. In fact, we did starve.
Really?
Oh, yeah. One time, this brother came to see us. Opened the refrigerator, was nothing in there. He said, brother, let's go to the grocery store. I said, right now? Yeah, let's go. My heart was right. But I didn't get the plan. I didn't get the plan. And I've told my wife many times, maybe we should have persisted. You know, you can go on a forced fast. But then there'll come people trying to tell you, Paul was a tent maker. In other words, you know, Paul has something on his side too, so you should too. You know, and then he said, he was a tent maker. And then years later, you're like, you look back and we should have persisted. After all, God fed them in the wilderness. Amen? But badly, God, I think Paul left us a bad example. Now, of course, you know, like it says right here, I haven't insisted on it. Not that he should have insisted, but he should have stayed the course and let God deal with it. Just like my wife and I should have. Amen. What time is it? Okay. It says, if others be partakers, verse 12, of this power with you are not, I will not rather, nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. See, he was concerned. Now, see, we can be so concerned to the point that we're trying to protect God. Protect God's reputation. He is big enough to protect his own reputation. I think about conversations we've had that, but you all try to bless me, and I'm like, no, we're not going to do that. No, that was dumb. But I was right. I'm like, no. And then later I said, fine, if you want to do it, go right ahead. You know. So that's the point. It's like having the sister on, and then let the gospel. See, the heart's right, but you can take it to the point where you not even protect God. As if he can't protect himself. Oh, brother. You know, we thank God for his grace. We do learn and grow up, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it says, my time's up here. 1 minute. Says verse 13, do you not know that they which minister by the holy things live of the things of the temple? And they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar? Even so hath the law ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. That's the plan. Not live up the gospel and plumbing, of the gospel and teaching, of the gospel and business. Those who preach the gospel should live of the gospel. It says, but I have not used none of these things, neither have I written these things, that it should be done unto me. For it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. I'll do it for free. Mm-hmm. And truly called minister of the gospel will do it for free. If they have some other world of sustaining themselves. But that's not gospel either, is it? Mm-hmm. Those who preach the gospel should live on it. It says, necessity is laid upon me. End of verse 16. Yea, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. In other words, if I don't do this for any reason. Folks don't want to hear it. Folks don't show up. Folks are not supporting me. If I don't do this for any reason at all, woe is me. Because I'm going to be judged for it. And so the matter of you not supporting me, asking all these questions, Paul says, that's immaterial. I am going to do this. Because I'm called to do it. If I don't do it, woe is me, he says. But then, we're not going to get to it today, but he then became a tent maker. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward, but if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge. So I can't put the money ahead of everything. That I abuse not my power in the gospel. Amen. So what are we saying? That money in the service of evangelism begins with seeing to it that apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, to the best that we can, situate it in such a way that they feel appreciated and so forth, because they are the trainers of this army. And on the part of the ministers, of course, they can't make that a condition of doing what they are called to do. And that's not always been the case either. Okay? And you'll find that many ministers who will not demand of the people or put money first, then do like Paul, start making tents on the side. Which is what I've done too, frankly. But the proper thing would be to stick with it when we began. But boy, I tell you, it was tough. It was tough. Told my wife to quit her job. And she did. And her hearts were right, no doubt. Her hearts are right. But we didn't get the plan. We didn't stick to it. And then, but there's no doubt that that's where it begins. And we'll get into this a little bit more and get some more revelation about it. But I believe that's money, the role of money. Again, it's not all about us. God wants to bless us, make us a blessing. And I just saw that as I was teaching that Abraham represents all of us. All the folks God wants to reach. But not all there. And so he's going to use Abraham, blessing, make him a blessing. And boy, same thing with Jesus. Amen? Okay, time's up. Father, we thank you. We praise you, we bless you, we give you thanks. Glory, 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 glory. You're still in the blessing business. To bless us, make us a blessing. It's about us, but it's not all about us. You want us to be tools. You want us to be reflections of you. For us to be your hands and your feet and your eyes and your ears and your mouth. So that through us, folks can get to you, know about you. Because you are the answer that they are groping in the dark looking for. What a privilege we have to point them to you. As we speak their language, we point them to you. Thank you, Father, for further revelation along these lines. Open our eyes to see how this looks like in our various positions in life. We praise you, we bless you. As we intend to be more and more light and salt and ministers of the gospel. Whether we are apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, or teachers, we're still called. Thank you for boldness. And we're not timid when it comes to sharing your gospel. Clear-headed, not confused. You are the answer. We know that. You are what everybody is looking for. Whether they know it or not, we know. We thank you. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. My friend, do you know him? He is beautiful. He is wonderful. He is all in all. Truly. Accept Jesus today. Don't put it off. How do you do that? Say, Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Lead me to a church that will teach me how to live a victorious Christian life. I receive my prayer language. I thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for it all. Amen. Friend, I add my faith to your faith regarding the entirety of your life. Now that you're born again, whatever has happened up to this point is under the blood. Glory to God. And you've got his grace, his word, his faith, his blood for what's to come. He'll walk with you. He'll be your caddy through life. Tell you what I am to use, what, how far to hit it and how to hit it, all that. Your tour guide. I add my faith regarding your healing, your family, everything about your life, that it comes into the perfect will of God. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, if you are anywhere around here, come see us. It is better live than through social media. Around here, meaning 100 miles away. If you're further away, keep listening, because we'll be here again next week, same time. Amen.